الحمد لله رب العالمين، حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضاه. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، قال المؤلف رحمه الله الإمام البربهاري رحمه الله تعالى: والإيمان بعذاب القبر ومنكر ونكير. To believe in the punishment of the grave and to believe in munkar and nakir. So point number 19 from Sharh al-Sunnah, the explanation of the creed. والإيمان بعذاب القبر, to believe in the punishment of the grave, and to believe in munkar and nakir. الشرح, the explanation, من عقائد أهل السنة والجماعة, from the belief of أهل السنة والجماعة, is to believe بأن في القبور نعيما وعذابا. Is to believe in the bliss and also the punishment of the grief. فالنعيم للمؤمنين والعذاب للكافرين والمجرمين. The bliss of the grave is for the believers, and the punishment of the grave is for the disbelievers and the criminals. وأن هناك فتنة يثبت الله فيها المؤمنين بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا والآخرة. And also in the grave there is a test, referring to what? Abd al-Majid, what test is there in the grave? The questions of the grave. Ahsant. Also in the grave there is a test, a trial in which Allah Azza wa Jalla will keep firm the believers with a word that is firm, with a firm word in this life and the hereafter. So my question to the brothers before we continue, alhamdulillah, that was the explanation. قرأنا من الشرح, that from the belief أهل السنة والجماعة is to believe in the bliss and the punishment of the grave. The bliss is for the believers and the punishment is for the disbelievers and the criminals. And also that to believe that there is a test in which Allah Azza wa Jalla will keep firm the believers with a word that is firm in this life and the hereafter. So, what about the usat min al-mu'mineen, the sinners from amongst the believers? Will they be punished in the grave? As Shaykh ibn al-Thaymini mentioned, so that we can understand this issue clearly, he was asked the question, هل عذاب القبر, is the punishment of the grave da'imun or munqati'? Is it continuous, meaning that it lasts the whole period that the servant is in the barzakh, is in the grave, or is it something that will come to an end? So that question was posed to Imam al-Shaykh ibn al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. He said, أَمَّا إِذَا كَانَ الْإِنسَانَ كَافِرًا وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا طَرِيقَ إِلَى وَصُولِ النَّعِيمِ إِلَيْهِ أَبَدًا وَيَكُونُ عَذَابُهُ مستمر. If the person in the grave is a disbeliever, we seek refuge with Allah Azza wa Jalla from that, then there is no way for him to attain any type of bliss ever. So his punishment will be continuous. So is that clear? Now, نعيده. أما إذا كان الإنسان كافرا والعياذ بالله فإنه لا طريق إلى وصول النعيم إليه أبدا ويكون عذابه مستمرا. The person who is buried in the grave, if he is a disbeliever, then there is no way for this type of individual to attain any bliss while in the grave. So therefore his punishment will be continuous. And we seek refuge with Allah Azza wa Jalla from that. أما إن كان عاصيا وهو مؤمن. However, if he was a believer, yet he was sinful. فَإِنَّهُ إِذَا عُذِّبَ فِي قَبْرِهِ يُعَذَّبُ بِقَدْرِ ذُنُوبِهِ. If Allah Azza wa Jal chooses to punish him while he is in the grave, then he will be punished according to his sins. وَرُبَّمَا يَكُونُ عَذَابُ ذُنُوبِهِ أَقَلْ مِنَ الْبَرْزَخِ الَّذِي بَيْنَ مَوْتِهِ وَقِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ وَحِينَ إِذٍ يَكُونُ مُنْقَطِعًا. So again, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, if the servant, the person in the grave, is a believer, yet he was sinful, if Allah Azza wa Jalla chooses to punish him in the grave in accordance to his sins, it is possible that his punishment for those sins will be less than the period between his death and the establishment of the hour. So therefore, as it pertains to him, the punishment will come to an end of the grave. أَمَّا إِن كَانَ عَاصِيًا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ وَإِذَا عُذِّبَ فِي قَبْرِهِ يُعَذَّبُ بِقَدْرِ ذُنُوبِهِ وَرُبَّمَا يَكُونُ عَذَابُ ذُنُوبِهِ أَقَلْ مِنَ الْبَرْزَخِ الَّذِي بَيْنَ مَوْتِهِ وَقِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ وَحِينَئِذٍ يَكُونُ مُنْقَطِعًا. نعم. ومن الأدلة على ذلك ما رواته أسماء بنت أبي بكر الصديق. There are many proofs. Again, this belief of Ahlul Sunnah, to believe in the punishment of the grave and likewise the bliss of the grave, as mentioned by Shaykh Al-Allam Rabi' ibn Hadi Al-Madkhali Hafidhullah Ta'ala, and to believe in Munkar Al-Nakir, as mentioned in the text of Sharh Al-Sunnah. There are many proofs and evidences that establish this belief. This is ma'khud, taken from the Quran and the Sunnah, with the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah. And this belief, brothers and sisters, this belief in the grave, yet again, يؤثر على المؤمن. It affects the believer, and it affects his conduct, the way that he conducts himself في هذه الحياة, in this life. If you look at the narration that was narrated by Hani, the Mawla of Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه, he narrated that Uthman ibn Affan, إِذَا وَقَفَ عَلَى قَبْرٍ يَبْكِي, when he used to stand by the grave, Uthman ibn Affan, the third of the rightly guided Khulafa, may Allah Azza wa Jalla be pleased with all of them, when he used to stand by the grave, he would cry, حَتَّى يَبُلَّ لِحْيَتُهُ, to the extent that his beard would become wet with tears. Uthman رضي الله عنه, when he used to stand by the grave, he would cry to the extent that his beard, it would become wet with tears. فَقِيلَ لَهُ, it was said to him, تَذْكُرُ الْجَنَّةَ وَالنَّارِ فَلَا تَبْكِي, you mention paradise and you mention the hellfire, but you do not cry. وَتَذْكُرُ الْقَبْرَ وَتَبْكِي, you remember the hellfire and paradise, yet you do not cry. But you mention or you remember the grave and you cry. So he responded, رضي الله عنه, إني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, verily I heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم say, القبر أول منزلة من منازل الآخرة, that the grave is the first stop from the stops of the hereafter. فمن نجا منه فما بعده أيسر منه, whoever is safe as it pertains to the grave and secure, then everything after that will be easier than it. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْجُوا, if the person in the grave is not safe and secure, فَمَا بَعْدُ وَشَدْ, that which is after the grave is even more severe. May Allah protect us from that. So look how this aqidah, this belief, how it affected this noble sahabi, Al-Jalil, this noble companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was from those who were granted, were given the glad tidings of Al-Jannah, of paradise. Al-Imam ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala has some beautiful words as it pertains to the issue of the sins on account of which a person is punished in the grave, and also those things that save an individual from the punishment in the grave. And I'll read it inshallah ta'ala briefly, summarizing it, because his answer, alhamdulillah, as you will see, he deals with it from a general fashion, in a general way, and also in a more detailed fashion. So he said, أَمَّا الْمَسَلَةَ التَّاسِعَةَ, as for the ninth issue, he said, وَهِيَ قَوْلَ السَّائِلِ, and this is the statement of the questioner, مَا الْأَسْبَابَ الَّتِي يُعَذَّبُ بِهَا أَصْحَابُ الْقُبُورِ, what are the reasons which result in the deceased being punished in the grave? What are the reasons which result in the deceased being punished in the grave? And this clarifies a lot of the questions and the issues that were being raised yesterday. He said, فَجَوَابُهَا مِنْ وَجْهَيْنِ. The answer can be given from two angles. مُجْمَلْ وَمُفَصَّلْ. A general answer and a detailed, elaborate answer. فَجَوَابُهَا مِنْ وَجْهَيْنِ. مُجْمَلْ وَمُفَصَّلْ. أَمَّا الْمُجْمَلُ فَإِنَّهُمْ يُعَذَّبُونَ عَلَى جَهْلِهِمْ بِاللَّهِ. As for the general answer, then verily they are punished due to their ignorance of Allah. وَإِضَاعَتِهِمْ لِأَمْرِهِ وَارْتِكَابِهِمْ لِمَا عَاصِيهِ. They are punished due to their ignorance of Allah, their negligence with His command, and them committing acts of disobedience. فَلَا يُعَذِّبُ اللَّهُ رُوحًا عَرَفَتْهُ وَأَحَبَّتْهُ وَامْتَثَلَتْ أَمْرَهُ وَاجْتَنَبَتْ نَهْيَهُ وَلَا بَدَنًا كَانَتْ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, fi kitabi al-ruh, Allah will not punish a soul that knows Him and loves Him and implements His commands and stays away from His prohibitions, nor the body that this soul lies therein. فَإِنَّ عَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ وَعَذَابَ الْآخِرَةِ أَثَرُ غَضَبِ اللَّهِ وَسُخْتِهِ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ. For verily, the punishment of the grave and the hereafter is a sign of the anger and wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The punishment of the grave, the punishment of the akhirah, the hereafter, is a sign of the anger of Allah and His wrath upon His servant. May Allah protect us all from that. فَمَنْ أَغْضَبَ اللَّهَ وَأَسْخَطَهُ فِي هَذِهِ الدَّارِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُبْ وَمَاتَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْبَرْزَخِ بِقَدْرِ غَضَبِ اللَّهِ وَسُخْطِهِ عَلَيْهِ. So Ibn al-Qayyim said, so whoever angers Allah in this life and does not repent and they die in that state, he receives from the punishment of the grave in accordance to Allah's anger and wrath upon him. And that's the general answer. So you see the general answer? Somebody was to ask, what are the reasons which result in the deceased being punished in the grave? Yesterday when I asked you in class, what are the reasons which result in the deceased being punished in the grave? Was I referring to the general or the specific? Ahsan, the specific. Meaning that which was mentioned in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, specifically about punishments of the grave that result from various sins. And then Ibn al-Qayyim goes on, he said, وَأَمَّا الْجَوَابَ الْمُفَصَّلِ. As for the detailed answer, فَقَدْ أَخْبَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he told us about the two men, الَّذَيْنِ رَآهُمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي قُبُورِهِمَا, whom he saw being punished in their graves. يَمْشِي أَحَدُهُمَا بِالنَّمِيمَةِ, one of them used to carry tales, بين الناس, between the people, and the other, he never used to protect himself from the urine. And then he goes on to mention the other ahadith. So he goes on to say, فَعَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ مِنْ مَعَاسِ الْقَلْبِ وَالْعَيْنِ. The punishment of the grave results from the disobedience of the heart, the eye, the ear, والفم, the mouth, واللسان, the tongue, والبطن, the stomach, the private parts, the hand, the leg, and the whole of the body. And he goes into detail about it. So that's the answer to that question. أما المسألة العاشرة, the 10th issue that he brings, وهي قوله ما هي الأسباب المنجية من عذاب القبر. What are some of the things that save an individual from the punishment of the grave? And again he said, فَجَوَابُهَا أَيْضًا مِنْ وَجْهَيْنِ مُجْمَلٌ وَالْمُفَصَّلِ. He said again, the answer for this question is from two angles, a general answer and a detailed answer. A general answer and a detailed answer. He said, أَمَّا الْمُجْمَلُ. As for the general answer, concerning the things that save an individual from the punishment of the grave, فَهُوَ تَجَنَّبُ تِلْكَ الْأَسْبَابِ أَلَّتِي تَقْتَضِي عَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ. then it is to refrain from all of the things that necessitate or warrant the punishment of the grief. A general answer is to refrain from all of the things that warrant a punishment in the grief. And this is the kalam that I wanted to read at the end of last lesson from here. وَمِنْ أَنْفَعِهَا. And from the most beneficial of them, أَنْ يَجْلِسَ الْإِنسَانِ. This advice is golden advice. فَنَسْتَمِعْ إِلَيْهَا وَنَسْتَفِيدُ مِنْهَا. Let us listen to it and benefit from it. He said, وَمِنْ أَنْفَعِهَا. From the most beneficial ways to be saved from the punishment of the grave. And this again is al-jawab al-mujmal, the general answer. أَنْ يَجْلِسَ الْإِنسَانُ عِنْدَمَا يُرِيدَ النَّوْمَ لِلَّهِ سَاعَةً. It's for a person to sit for the sake of Allah for an hour when he intends to sleep. A person, when he intends to sleep, sit for 1 hour for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Doing what? Playing a PlayStation? Sit 1 hour. يُحَاسِبُ نَفْسَهُ فِيهَا. Bringing oneself to account. عَلَى مَا خَسِرَهُ وَرَبِحَهُ فِي يَوْمِهِ. Bringing himself to account for what he has lost and gained in this day of his. For 1 hour. Before you go to bed, sit for 1 hour. Bring yourself to account. How did you profit this day? How did you lose out this day? How did you find this day? ثُمَّ يُجَدِّدْ لَهُ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ. Then he repents anew sincerely between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيَنَامُ عَلَى تِلْكِ التَّوْبَةِ. And he sleeps in this state of repentance. Allahu Akbar. Imagine that. مَا أَنْفَعْ تِلْكَ النَّصِيحَةِ. وَيَعْزِمُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ لَا يُعَاوِدَ الظَّنْبَ إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظْ. He sleeps in this state of repentance and he is determined never to return back to that sin if he was to wake up. وَيَفْعَلُ هَذَا كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ. And he does this every single night. فَإِنْ مَاتَ مِنْ لَيْلَتِهِ مَاتَ عَلَىٰ التَّوْبَةِ. If he dies that night, he died in a state of tawbah. Allahu Akbar. What an excellent ending. If he died in his sleep, he died in a state of tawbah. وَإِنْ اِسْتَيْقَظَ اِسْتَيْقَظَ مُسْتَقْبِلًا لِلْعَمَلِ. And if he wakes up, he wakes up and he wakes up in a state and he's focused on doing good deeds. مَسْرُورًا بِتَأْخِيرِ أَجْلِهِ حَتَّى يَسْتَقِيلَ رَبَّهُ وَيَسْتَدْرِكَ مَا فَاتَهُ. And if he wakes focused on doing good deeds and delighted that Allah has delayed his appointed time of death, and he asks Allah Azza wa Jalla to pardon him for his shortcomings, and he rectifies anything that he missed out on the previous day. Then Ibn al-Qayyim said, وَلَيْسَ لِلْعَبْدِ أَنْفَعْ مِنْ هَذِهِ التَّوْبَةِ. There is nothing more beneficial to the servant than this type of repentance. وَلَا سِيَّمَا إِذَا عَقَّبَ ذَلِكَ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Especially if he follows this with the remembrance of Allah, وَاسْتِعْمَالِ السُّنَنِ الَّتِي وَرَدَتْ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, and the implementation of the sunan which are established upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it is time to sleep. حَتَّى يَغْلِبُهُ النَّوْمُ. حَتَّى يَغْلِبُهُ النَّوْمُ فَمَنْ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا وَفَّقَهُ لِذَلِكَ. Whoever Allah azza wa jalla wants good for, he grants them success to do this. Then he said, أَمَّا الْجَوَابَ الْمُفَصَّلِ. As for the detailed answer about those things that will save the servant from the punishment of the grave, he said, فَنَذْكُرُ أَحَدِيثَ أَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِيمَا يُنْجِي مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبَرِ. Then we will mention a hadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as it pertains to those things that save a person from the punishment of the grave. And we mentioned some of them yesterday, alhamdulillah. And that kalam of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala is in his book, Kitab al-Ruh, volume 1, page 231. up until 251. And it's an excellent book dealing with these matters. Our belief, and inshallah we'll go on to mention the evidences that the Shaykh, he mentions in the Sharh, where our belief is derived from, again, it affects the conduct of the believer, fi hadhil hayat, in this life, hayat ad-dunya. Why? Because there are things that result in the punishment of the grief. Al-dhanub, those sins, allati yu'adhabu alayha, we find individuals are punished for those sins in the grief, in the text of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Na'am, not properly cleaning oneself and protecting oneself from urine, based upon the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said that verily they are being punished, وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانَ بِكَبِيرٍ, but verily it is something that is major, meaning it's a major sin. One of them, he never used to protect himself from urine. Na'am. Another one, Naji, a sin that can result in the punishment of the grave. And namima, tail carrying. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَ. As for one of them, he used to go around telling tales. Namima is what? That you convey the speech of one group of people or one person to another person, ala wajil ifsad, and you want to create corruption and animosity between the two, wal-iyadu billah. So look, the belief in the punishment of the grave, the one, when this is firmly cemented in the heart, and one's iman is perfect and complete, is going to stay away from those type of sins. أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ, running around telling tales. Why? Because no aqil wants to be punished in the qabr. What else? الَّذِي يَأْخُذُ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَرْفُضُهُ. One of them, he memorized the Qur'an, but he did not use to act upon it. Another one. Faddal, Jurij. Riba, the one who eats riba. Interest. Likewise, na'am, the fornicators, the males and the females, they will be burning in a pit of fire, wal-iyadu billah. Also what? Faddal, Mus'ab, tini wahida. Na'am, what's mentioned about kadhib, ahsant? This here, in an era of social media, the belief of the punishment of the grave, the one, again, that this belief is complete in his heart, he doesn't get on social media, and just because people don't know who he is and he hides or she hides her identity, and then they start lying and slandering, that shows that there's a deficiency in that person's iman. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us about one of the people that will be punished in the grave, his mouth will be ripped apart, the one who he leaves his house in the morning, yakdhib al-kadhiba, he tells a lie, and it goes all over the world. If that doesn't apply to what goes on when people lie and slander on the internet, I don't know what will. May Allah protect us from that. So look again, look how this, that's why aqeedah is so important. If you believe, na'am, that the grave people are going to be punished, the one who lies, and that lie, it spreads all over the world, the one you lied against, he's not going to be harmed, he's getting ajr. He's getting good deeds. But the one who lies, and if it goes all over the world, that individual is threatened to be punished in the grave, wal-iyadu billah. And like I said, in a time where social media, people are addicted to social media, and they speak or they write, like no one is recording, wal-iyadu billah. And na'im, and it's salat al-maktuba, the one who sleeps through the obligatory prayer. The one who sleeps through the obligatory prayer. Also, ikhwan, likewise, the opposite of that. Again, I'm mentioning this, so alhamdulillah, we understand the significance of this belief and how it affects the life of the Muslim. Likewise, there are things, asha tunji min adhab al-qabr, that saves a person from the punishment of the grave. There are things established, mentioned in the text of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that save a person from the punishment of the grave. Seeking refuge with Allah Azza wa Jalla from the punishment of the grave. Tayyib. Ahsan. The recitation of Surat Mulk. Surat Tabarak. It's mani'a, it prevents the punishment of the grief. Showing the importance of what? Learning the Quran. Likewise, martyrdom in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in that which is legislated. The one who goes and murders innocent people and blows up himself, he's threatened with the hellfire. Doesn't apply to him. That's referring when there's two armies, for example, on a battlefield. It's a legitimate battle. All the conditions have been met and the stipulations, and the person is martyred fi sabilillah. Likewise, that naam is one of the things that saves from the punishment of the grave. Also, the one who dies from a stomach disease. The one who dies from a stomach disease is mentioned in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam. Dying on Yawmul Jum'ah is mentioned in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is one of the things that saves from the punishment of the grave. For the believer, it's alamatul khair to die on the day of Jum'ah or the night of Jum'ah. Likewise, similarly, with regards to those things that save from the punishment of the grave, inshallah, I'll leave you to go away and look for some others, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So the Shaykh, he mentions in the explanation, this our belief in the punishment of the grave and the bliss of the grave, meaning the enjoyment of the grave, it's based upon the Qur'an and the Sunnah. He said, وَمِنَ الْأَدِلَّةِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ, from the proofs that establish this belief, is the hadith narrated by Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhuma. أَنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ صَلَّى بِالنَّاسِ صَلَاتُ الْكُسُوفِ, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he prayed the eclipse prayer. فَلَمَّنْ صَرَفَ صلى الله عليه وسلم حَمِدَ اللَّهَ وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ قَالْ, when the Prophet finished the eclipse prayer, he praised Allah Azza wa Jal and thanked him. ثُمَّ قَالْ, and then he said, أَمَّا بَعْدُ مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ لَمْ أَكُنْ رَأَيْتُهُ إِلَّا قَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ فِي مَقَامِ هَذَا حَتَّى الْجَنَّ وَالنَّارِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I've seen in this place of mine what I've previously not seen, even from paradise and as it pertains to the hellfire. وَإِنَّهُ قَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّكُمْ تُفْتَنُونَ فِي الْقُبُورِ قَرِيبًا أَوْ مِثْلَ فِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ. And he also said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily it has been revealed to me that you will be put to trial and tested in the graves, close to or like the trial of the Dajjal. لا أدري أي ذلك قالت أسماء فيؤتى أحدكم فيقال. The angels, they will come to one of you and they will say, it will be said, ما علمك بهذا الرجل, what do you know about this man, meaning Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما المؤمن أو الموقن لا أدري أي ذلك قالت أسماء. As for the believer, the one with certain faith, Asma said, I don't know which one exactly was stated. فَيَقُولُ هُوَ مُحَمَّدٌ. As for the believer, the one with certain faith, he will say, he is Muhammad, هو رسول الله, he is the messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, جاءنا بالبينات والهدى, he came to us with clear evidences and guidance. فَأَجَبْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, and we obeyed him, we responded to him, and we obeyed him. And he will say this three times. فَيُقَالْ لَهُ, it will be said to the believer, نَامْ, sleep. قَدْ كُنَّ نَعْلَمْ إِنَّكَ, for surely we knew, it will be said to the believer, sleep peacefully, as we knew, surely, you are a true believer. فَنَمْ صَالِحًا, sleep peacefully. وَأَمَّا الْمُنَافِقَ وَالْمُرْتَابِ, as for the hypocrite or the one who has doubt, he will say, لَا أَدْرِي, I do not know. سمعت الناس يقولون شيئا فقلت, I heard the people say something and I just repeated the same as them. Naam. That's referring to what? The questions of the grave and the punishment of the grave. So that's one of the hadith that the Shaykh mentioned. وَمِنْهَا, also another hadith. Hadith of Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, قال إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا مَاتْ, when one of you dies, عُرِدَ عَلَيْهِ مَقْعَدُهُ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِ, he will be shown his place in the morning and the evening. إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, if he is one of the people of paradise, he is shown his place in paradise. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, if he is from the people of the hellfire, فَمِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, then he will be shown his place in the hellfire. يُقَالْ, and it will be said to him, هَذَا مَقْعَدُكَ حَتَّى يَبْعَثَكَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, then it will be said to him, this is your place until Allah Azza wa Jal resurrects you on the day of resurrection. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless us to die upon iman and tawheed. Likewise, the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, Hadith al-Bara'i ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu, the well-known long hadith. فَيَأْتِيهِ, and it's mentioned in that hadith, and this hadith is authentic in the Sunan of Abu Dawud and others, أَيَ الْمُؤْمِنِ مَلَكَان, two angels will come to the believer. فَيُجْلِسَانِهِ, they will sit him. فَيَقُولَانِ, they will say to him, لَهُ مَنْ رَبُّكُ, who is your Lord? So they will make him sit, and they will say to him, who is your Lord? فَيَقُولُ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ, he will say, my Lord is Allah. Likewise, فَيَقُولَانِ لَهُ, the two angels will say, مَا دِينُكُ, what is your religion? فَيَقُولُ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ, my religion is Islam. فَيَقُولَانِ لَهُ, they will say to him, مَا هَذَا الرَّجُلَ الَّذِي بُعْثَ فِيكُمْ, who is this man that was sent to you? The believer will say, هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, he is the messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. فَيَقُولَانِ لَهُ, and they will say to him, مَا عِلْمُكَ, how did you know this? How did you acquire knowledge of these things? And look at this answer, Ikhwan. This tells us, if you want to learn your religion, where do you learn it from? Based upon the questions that you will be asked in the grave and where the answers are derived from. So the angels will ask the person, where did you get these answers from? Where did you know these things from? The one in the grave, he will say, قَرَأْتُ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, I read the book of Allah. He will not say, I read Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends, and I realized. No, he won't say that. He will not say, I read the books of atheists and philosophers and I arrived at this conclusion. No, he will say, قَرَأْتُ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ, I read the book of Allah. فَآمَنْتُ بِهِ, and I believed in it. وَصَدَّقْتُ, and I affirmed it. So that's a proof. العلم النافع, the beneficial knowledge is that which is in the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah. If a person wants to be praised on account of knowledge, is referring to this type of knowledge. That is why the rectification of this ummah, it has to be upon knowledge. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق, Allah sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth. Guidance, العلم النافع, beneficial knowledge. There is no way to better this ummah, to rectify this ummah, except with ilm, except with learning. Learning the Quran, learning how to recite it, learning how to understand it, implementing it. There's no way to rectification except upon that tariq. And those people that you see, they try to take shortcuts. Like Al-Ikhwan al-Muslimun, the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, they tried to get islah, rectification, through the ballot box, through voting. Naam, and look how they were humiliated in such a short period of time. That's not the way. Anyone who tries to bring about islah with a methodology other than the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in reality, he's doing nothing but bringing about corruption. Look, the question, وَمَا عِلْمُكَ, how did you know this? مَا حَسَّلَكَ هَذَا الْعِلْمُ, what allowed you to acquire knowledge of this thing? The person in the grave, he will say, قَرَأْتُ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ, I read the book of Allah. I implemented it, I understood it. So our success depends upon what? Learning the Quran, understanding it, and implementing it. Likewise, another hadith that the Shaykh mentions, the hadith which is in Bukhari and likewise in Sahih Muslim, and Aisha radiallahu anha, anna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yad'u fi salati, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make the dua and the prayer, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the punishment of the grave, wa a'udhu bika min fitnat al-masih al-dajjal, and I seek refuge with you from the trial of the al-dajjal, وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِدْنَةِ الْمَحْيَا وَالْمَمَاتِ, and I seek refuge with you from the trials of life and death. So look, seeking refuge with Allah from the punishment of the grave. Likewise, hadith Abi Hurairah radiallahu an, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِذَا تَشَهَّدَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ أَرْبَعٍ, if one of you is in the last tashahud, one of you should seek refuge with Allah عز وجل from four things. They should say, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the punishment of the hellfire. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the punishment of the grave. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the trials of life and death. And O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the trials of the Dajjal. وَمَعَ هَذَا, the Shaykh, he said, in light of all of this, فَالْمُعْتَزِلَةُ وَمَنْ نَحَى نَحْوَهُمْ يُنْكِرُونَ عَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ, in light of these evidences, the Mu'tazila and those who walk in their footsteps, they reject the punishment of the grief. They reject the punishment of the grief. وَهُمْ لَا يُسَلِّمُونَ بِالْأَحَدِيثِ النَّبَوِيَّةِ, and they do not submit to the prophetic ahadith. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam بِحُجَّتِي أَنَّهَا أَخْبَارُ الْأَحَالَ تُفِيدْ إِلَّا الظَّنِ. And their argument that the Mu'tazila they use and those who walk in their path, they say that the ahadith, these ahadith are ahadith al-ahad. They do not reach the level of mutawatir, so they do not concur or convey certainty, but instead they just convey speculation, meaning there's doubt. It could be correct, it might be incorrect. It doesn't give us certainty. And that's kadhib. That's a clear lie from them. And one of the reasons that the Mu'tazila and those who are like them, they reject the punishment of the grave, they say if you dig up the grave, you don't see anything. One of the reasons the Mu'tazila and those who are like them, they say if you dig up the grave and you were to look in the grave, you don't see no punishment and you don't see no bliss. So therefore they say, how is this? Because what? Remember, from their principles, يقدمون العقل على النقل. They give precedence to their intellect over the text. So they invent principles. One of them, ahadith al-ahad. They say ahadith which do not reach the level of mutawatir. They could be correct and they could be incorrect. It could be true and it could be a lie, which is actually nonsense. Amongst the Sahaba, if a hadith reached them, khalas, sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal, did he send numerous companions or did he send Mu'adh? He sent Mu'adh. Teach the people aqeedah. Tell them to say, la ilaha illallah, that's aqeedah. So if the hadith is authentic, we accept it, alhamdulillah. So the Shaykh, he mentioned, فأخبار الأحاد التي تلقتها الأمة بالقبول تفيد العلم اليقيني. A hadith, even if the ahad, if the ummah accepts their authenticity, meaning, like for example, ahadith in Bukhari Muslim, the ummah has accepted those ahadith to be authentic. Those ahadith, we have certainty concerning them. There's no shadow of a doubt that they're true. وَأَحَدِيثَ عَذَابِ الْقَبَرِ. And in reality, the ahadith about the punishment of the grave, أَمُتَوَاتِرَ. They reach the level of tawatur. Brothers and sisters, some people may say, well, who? Does anyone in our time reject the punishment of the grave? Yes, Hizb al-Tahrir. Hizb al-Tahrir, they rejected the punishment of the grave. And they used to say, yes, we, listen to this. They had many games. They used to say, we affirm it, but we don't believe in it. What does that mean? How can you affirm something but you don't believe in it? Hizb al-Tahrir, that political party, they rejected the punishment of the grave. Likewise, from those groups that reject the punishment of the grave is also Muhajirun, another group. Umar Bakri Muhammad used to reject the punishment of the grave. Akhuna akhbarani, naam, that even Hassan al-Turabi, an individual that was in Sudan, who passed away, he used to reject the punishment of the grave. So you have people in this time still reviving this aqidah, this corrupt belief, that there's no punishment of the grave, there's no bliss of the grave. And in reality, they're rejecting that which is mutawatir, meaning there are so many narrations. And I'm going to ask a question. Tawatir, what type of tawatir do the ulama refer to here? When they say mutawatir, meaning there's so many narrations, يستحيل تواطؤهم على الكذب. It's impossible for all of these narrators to unite, to forge a line. And it's على أمر محسوس. It's about something that is perceived. However, what type of تواتر? A تواتر, when the ulama they say متواتر, what do they mean by it? There are two types. Who can tell me? MashaAllah, Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah, Allahu Akbar. Naam, that's one type. At-tawatur al-ma'nawi, meaning the wording's different, but the meaning is one. They all share and affirm a particular meaning. So, like for example, the punishment of the grave. That is at-tawatur al-ma'nawi. You have so many ahadith about the punishment of the grave, the wordings are different, but the meaning, they all affirm the punishment of the grave. So the ulama, they define that as a tawatur al-ma'nawi. Al-ma'nawi. Naam, so that's one type. Naam, as Anas, he mentioned, a tawatur al-lafzi. That the exact wording of the hadith, that specific wording, is narrated by so many narrators that it is mutawatir. The exact wording. Give me an example of it. Naam, mashallah, the brother, jazallah khairan, he mentioned an example of a tawatur al-lafzi. And that's why I thought you might have looked at the phone, mashallah, because I didn't think anyone would get that question. But now the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من كذب علي متعمدا, whoever lies upon me intentionally, then let him take his seat in the hellfire. That hadith has been narrated, the exact wording of that hadith has been narrated by so many narrators, it is impossible for them to gather together to forge a lie. That's known as a tawatir al-lafzi, meaning it reaches the level of mutawatir with the exact wording. As for the other type, a tawatir al-ma'nawi, meaning it's not the exact wording, but a specific meaning is established in so many narrations that it's impossible for them to unite to forge a lie, like the punishment of the grave. Is that clear to everyone, Ikhwan? So the Shaykh, he said, so the Mu'tazila and those who are like them, they reject the punishment of the grave and they do not submit to the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And they invent this principle that ahadith of ahad, hadith that do not reach this level of mutawatir, they only convey to us speculation, and we cannot accept these hadith in matters of aqidah. And this is just falsafa, it is nothing but philosophy and kalam, theological speculation. Naam. And it's something that was not known to the companions, nor the tabi'een, nor the atba' al-tabi'een who followed the companions in goodness. It was something that was invented by the people of innovation to reject the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because if you think of it, Ikhwan, any Muslim, upon alhamdulillah his fitrah, in order to establish his religion, he's going to refer to the Quran and the sunnah. If somebody comes to him and says, Aristotle, they said, no one's going to accept that. Even from the general Muslims. Now, so what they tried to invent principles to lead to the rejection of the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. Like the belief the Quran is created, wal-iyadu billah. Like this principle, these ahadith, they only convey to us speculation. So ahadith in Bukhari and Muslim, even though the ummah is united upon their authenticity, it's done. We can't accept those ahadith in aqidah. So slowly, bit by bit, they corrupt the religion from within. They corrupt the religion from within. That's why the scholars, they say, the mubtadi'a, the people of innovation, they are more dangerous to the Muslims than the non-Muslims. Why? Because they corrupt the religion from within. They come to you, speaking Arabic. They come to you, they'll mention to you ayat, they'll mention to you ahadith. But they'll try and corrupt the religion. People will listen. The Muslims, they may listen to that type of person. If a non-Muslim comes to you and says to you, let me teach you your religion, who's going to sit with him and learn? Even though, no doubt, the Muslim who is an innovator with Allah Azza wa Jalla is better than the person who is a non-Muslim. However, the harm of the Muslim who's an innovator and promotes innovative principles, his harm is more severe. Then the Shaykh, he said, even this belief in the punishment of the grave is established in the Quran. For the one who reflects on the Quran. قال الله تعالى في فرعون وقومه. Allah Azza wa Jalla said concerning Fir'aun and the followers and the people of Fir'aun. النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا. The fire, they will be exposed to it morning and evening. ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب. And on the hour, on the day of judgment, it will be said, make the people of Fir'aun enter the severest punishment of the fire. How is that a proof? Who's going to explain it? Abdul Aziz, Fadl. How is that ayah a proof that establishes the punishment of the grave? Because, no doubt, alhamdulillah, we mention an ayah, but we have to understand how is the ayah a proof? An-naru yu'raduna 'alayha. The hell, they are exposed to the hellfire. Fir'aun and his people, they are exposed to the hellfire in the morning and in the evening. وَيَوْمَ تَقُومَ السَّاعَةِ. And when the hour is established on the day of judgment, it will be said, أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ. Make the people of Fir'aun enter أشد العذاب, the severest type of punishment. إِرْفَعْ سَوْتَكْ, إِرْفَعْ سَوْتَكْ. It mentions, yes. Ahsant. Naam. Here it mentions the ayah, look, An-naru yu'raduna 'alayha. They will be exposed to the hellfire, ghuduwan, in the morning and in the evening. They'd be exposed to the hellfire. Remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The one who is in his grave and he's from the people of the hellfire, he will be mother, shown his place in the hellfire, and that door will be opened up, he will see his place in the hellfire. Then in the verse it says, وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ, when the hour is established, so when they're exposed to the hellfire, that's not the on Yawm al-Qiyamah, because it says, they will be exposed to the hellfire in the morning and in the evening. And then, when Yawm al-Qiyamah is established, it will be said, make the people of Fir'aun enter the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's Yawm al-Qiyamah. That's the hellfire. So therefore, this exposure is in the grave. It's in the barzakh. It is in the barzakh. So then being exposed ala nar, morning and evening, huwa min adabihim fil barzakh, is their punishment in the grave. Thumma Yawm al-Qiyamati, then on the Day of Judgment, Allah will say, adkhilu ala Fir'auna ashad al-adab. Make the people of Fir'aun enter into the most severe form, enter the severest punishment. فهم أشد الناس عذابا يوم القيامة بعد عذابهم في البرزخ. And then the Shaykh, he said, اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر. Oh Allah, we seek refuge with you from the punishment of the grave, and we seek refuge with you from the punishment of the hellfire, and we seek refuge with you from the punishment of the trials of this life and the hereafter and death. And we seek refuge with you from the evil arm, the Dajjal. Naam. So alhamdulillah, with that, intahina min hadha, that point. Wallah alhamdulillah.